So Laura Harris has worked for 2 years coordinating data collection on maternal health in resource-poor settings, and she subsequently received her MPH at Berkeley, University of California, and where she began working with the UC Berkeley Global Health Equity Working Group, and currently she's a medical student in UC Berkeley, UCSF Joint Medical Program, and Laura will be discussing about global inequity, the death toll, and how to target the global health inequity and estimating the burden of inequity. Thank you so much, Laura. You have 15 minutes.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Great. So I'm Laura Harris, and in this session, I'll be presenting work that I have done in collaboration with members of UC Berkeley's Center for Global Public Health to develop an indicator that we call the global inequity death toll. I'm really happy to be a part of this panel. And this work has been conceptualized and headed by Dr. Juan Garay, who could not be here at the conference, but I'm happy to present for him. And I have no relationship to disclose. So health equity has become a buzzword and a call to action, but it is seldom measured on a global scale. And measuring health inequities allows us to focus advocacy and policy on inequity reduction and to track inequity over time. I think that there are interesting sort of complementarities between the previous presentation and this one, so I'll be interested if there's discussion about that. So in this session, I'll propose the Global Inequity Death Toll, or GIDT, as one way to measure health inequity, and I'll explain how we calculated it, show some results, and then discuss ways that we might use it. So in 1992, Margaret Whitehead's classic article defined health inequity as differences in health that are not only unnecessary and avoidable, but in addition are considered unfair and unjust. And building on this definition, in 2006, Paula Braverman proposed an operational definition of health inequities as differences in health in which socially disadvantaged groups, whether that's defined by wealth, race, sex, or other factors, systematically experience worse health outcomes than socially advantaged groups, thus placing them at further disadvantage. And this definition highlights populations with underlying systematic disadvantage, giving moral urgency to health differences and defining them as health equities. And yet, a variety of efforts to measure health differences at a global level, including measurements that form the basis of the 2000 World Health Report, notably, have primarily focused on the mathematical dispersion of health indicators without incorporating related social variables into the analysis. And these measures tell us about inequality, but not specifically about inequity. And meaningful measures of health inequity are sorely needed to strengthen our understanding of health inequity, to focus our advocacy efforts on the greatest inequities, and to inform policies, not just health policies, but the many policies that affect our well-being, and also to allow us to track our progress over time. The World Health Organization's Commission on the Social Determinants of Health concluded in 2008 that further research into ways to measure global inequity and its determinants is needed, and that it is important to develop targets globally for the reduction of health inequities between and within countries with regular monitoring of progress. And this is not just a concern in 2008. In a letter to The Lancet 2 weeks ago, Michael Marmot again called for health monitoring frameworks to include inequities in power, money, and resources, referencing the Commission's report. So we propose that the global inequity death toll is a measure of inequity between country income groups, and the GIDT is the deaths that would have been averted if lower income countries had the same mortality rates as high income countries. And alternatively, we can think of the GIT as deaths that are due to differences in mortality rates between lower and high income countries. So why did we choose this specific formulation for the GIDT? Well, income, or more broadly, resources, is a key dimension of power and privilege, and a robust body of research has shown time and time again that economic status is linked to a wide range of health outcomes. The health of lower income individuals, groups, and countries is systematically worse than the health of higher income individuals, groups, and countries. And so by making comparisons between income groups, we are moving from focusing on inequality to focusing on equity. And life expectancy is an important indicator of overall health, so we chose to measure health through mortality rates, and we chose to express the GIDT in terms of absolute deaths because we wanted it to be a measure that was relatively easy to understand for a range of stakeholders. So we used several sources for the data, all of which are publicly available. We took data on annual deaths from the Institute of Health Metrics and Evaluation Global Burden of Disease data. Our population data are from the UN World Population Prospects. And for both the population and death data, we had data each decade from 1970 to 2010 that was disaggregated by age strata every 5 years. This allowed us to do an age standardized analysis. And our data on country income groupings are from the World Bank 2012 classifications, which group countries into four groups based on GNI per capita. And these income classifications were constant over time, which is one limitation of the data. And we excluded countries that were missing data from one of the sources. These were mainly small island countries and represented about 1% of deaths. And so we define the high-income country death rate as the mean death rate among high-income countries for each age stratum. And these hypothetical death rates were applied to lower and middle-income country populations to find hypothetical deaths in each age stratum. And the hypothetical deaths were then subtracted from the actual deaths. And differences for all age groups were summed to find the country-level GIDT. And countries that have fewer actual deaths than hypothetical deaths were considered to have zero contribution to the GIDT. And all analyses were performed in data. So now I'll go over some of the highlights. So based on this analysis, we found that the global inequity death toll was 20.3 million deaths per year. That means that two out of five deaths, essentially, that's on the next slide. Great, thank you. This means that there would have been 20.3 million fewer deaths per year if countries had had the same mortality rates. And this number has remained relatively stable over time, increasing slightly from 18.3 million in 1970. And as a comparison, in 2011, ischemic heart disease was the leading cause of death worldwide, and that killed 7 million people. So now you may be thinking, 20.3 million, that's a large number, but how does this relate to the total number of deaths? And isn't the number of deaths increasing over time as world population increases? Well, the answer is yes. But the total population and the total number of deaths in 2010 was 52.5 million. So the GIDT as of 2010 accounted for 39% of all deaths. So that means that about two out of all five deaths would have been averted if lower-income countries enjoyed the same mortality levels as high-income countries. And if we look over time, we see that the proportions are decreasing slightly, but they hover around 40%. And as we expect, the analysis also shows that lower-income groups have higher proportions of GIDT. For 2010, 71% of deaths in low-income countries would have been averted if these countries had enjoyed the same health standards as high-income countries. So this analysis is really preliminary, and we wanted to present it to you not to sort of say that this is the definitive answer to all our concerns about how we're going to measure health equity, but really to start a conversation. So one of those questions is, what should the standard high-income mortality rate be set to? Should it be the mean? Should it be another standard? This is a question that has philosophical and statistical elements and should really be decided by a variety of stakeholders. But we saw in our sensitivity analysis looking at median mortality rates and 75th percentile mortality rates that there were differences in the absolute values for the GIDT, but there were similar trends over time, sort of slightly decreasing but relatively stable absolute numbers or relative numbers and slightly increasing absolute numbers. So this really only gets at one aspect of equity, and there are other indicators could get a much more nuanced picture. So the GIDT compares multinational income groups, and populations in lower income countries do tend to be systematically disadvantaged in several ways. Yet relative disadvantage within countries and within other levels of aggregation is important to consider as well, as these levels of relative disadvantage all have distinct and very important implications for health. Also, income is only one dimension of social advantage. Other dimensions include race, occupation, gender, religion, education, social capital, and we chose to focus on income alone for this analysis for the purposes of clarity as well as data availability and international comparability. But other analyses using other dimensions of equity would provide a really interesting point of comparison and create also a more holistic view of equity. Morbidity is also a very important measure of health that is not captured through mortality rates, and it's unequally distributed in the world, so an analysis of morbidity would also add a lot. So our vision is that more health equity indicators should be created using the same overall approach of the GIDT by comparing more and less advantaged groups, but looking at inter-country comparisons, other axes of privilege, and morbidity. And some studies on some of these concepts have already been undertaken, but we think that if measured systematically under a health equity monitoring framework, these indicators would give us a much more complete and nuanced view of inequity. And this framework could highlight some of the greatest inequities, inform and focus advocacy, direct policymakers to prioritize the health of those subgroups that are least advantaged, and to monitor progress over time. But the data needed for many of these indicators is currently lacking. And one place to start as we advocate for more health equity may simply be to advocate for more data to be disaggregated by these axes of privilege. So one of the last concerns that I'll talk about is that definitions of health equity state that in addition to being unjust, health equity should be ameliorable and avoidable. And by stratifying on income, the GIDT raises important questions about efforts to address health inequities as well as the feasibility of eliminating or reducing health inequities. What shifts in resources might be needed to reduce these differences? Are there enough resources for everyone to enjoy the standards of health that high-income countries currently do? What really is the highest attainable standard of health, as the WHO discusses? And if we are to champion health equity, shouldn't that mean that the highest attainable standard of health is really attainable for all? These are big questions, and the GIDT is not meant to answer them, but to bring them once again into the global health debate and to highlight their importance. And they merit serious considerations of efficiency and resource use and a critical examination of how health relates to the resource use across income levels. And because resources are finite, these questions also tie into larger discussions of intergenerational equity in health. And there are a number of lower-income countries that have mortality rates below the average rates of high-income countries, and these countries are an important reference for the identification of policies and lifestyles that can inspire more efficient and sustainable health systems and development models. And this is an area of continuing active research by our group. So to conclude, measures of global health inequity have important implications for how stakeholders advocate and act to improve health. The GIDT highlights the unchanging relative and absolute disparity in mortality rates that have existed over the past decades, and this stagnation at a level of roughly 20 million annual deaths due to inequity, or 40% of all deaths, signals that efforts to improve health in resource-poor areas has done relatively little to improve health equity, and it implies the need to rethink our global health framework, and especially our global health monitoring framework. So we think there should be greater focus on health inequity, including the development of feasible targets and measurable indicators of health inequity, and that the intergenerational burden of inequity should also be a matter of critical analysis. So we think that the approach used to formulate the GIDT can be a useful framework for creating a set of indicators that measure different dimensions of health equity from the subnational to the global. Thank you.
Thank you.